I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you doing here? Wait, are you doing a podcast right now?
Welcome to the Robin Holly Show podcast.
Hi, oh. Cody. There's your face.
What's going on? Hold on a minute.
Hey.
Reclaimer.
There we go. Are you on your bus? This is the last time I talk to you. Yeah, you're on your bus. Are you driving? Are you guys parked?
No, I don't drive this thing. Are you kidding
me? Well, I mean, like, is it moving? Or you're like, I don't know.
No, we're parked.
Okay. Look at the belt.
We're actually.
I could.
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a delay. No, we're sitting in Fort Loramie, Ohio.
Nice. You guys, you're so close to us because we're in Detroit right now. We could just hop, skip, and a jump right over to you.
I couldn't tell what that was behind you when the camera was blurry. I just saw the lights and the little things, and it looked like almost looked like a vending machine. I was like, oh, you want? What do you got? I was like, what do you got?
Look at that! No, that is
those are some dope belt buckles.
Pick a belt buckle, any belt buckle. It's a hard thing to win a belt buckle, don't you think? Until maybe you win your first one, or how do you feel about that?
The first one's always the hardest. The first one's always the hardest, and keeping up with it after that is pretty hard. I tried for years and years and years to win my first team rope and buckle, and it's like after that, you just want the next one. So you go try to win another one, you try to win another one, and so far I'm doing pretty good, but it's been a minute since I won one. Actually, my favorite one in the case, I have to show you this because I hope my guitar player Jake sees this one. That right there. Ooh. It's Jake Mears that plays guitar for me. That's his birthday bash that we have every year at his house. And I beat him. So I'm most proud of that one.
Nice.
That's like the one belt buckle. You're like, this is my one. So wait,
the reason it's in the case is because when he walks on the bus, I just point to him.
So wait, which one do you wear all the time then?
So I won, the Red Steagall. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Red Steagall. It's a famous American cowboy poet. Been a great mentor to me. He was he's really involved in the Texas music scene, the Texas Cowboy Hall of Fame. I truly mean this, a gentleman and a scholar. He is such a great man. He hosts the Cowboy Roundup every year in Fort Worth at Stockyards, and I won the team rope. And so I respect Red so much for what he's done for the Western industry and the cowboy way of life that I kind of said, man, that's like, I never take that one off.
That's so cool.
I noticed some lyrics in one of your songs. You said something about all I ever wanted to be was a cowboy. What is the true meaning of a real cowboy to you?
Living it every day. And black means black, white is white. There's no gray area in between. Yes is yes and no is no. And say what you mean and mean what you say and stand by your word. And, you know, but when I say live it every day, like, this is no joke. Like yesterday morning, so I just came back from vacation in Florida, drove 10 hours against my will for my wife. And so get back home, had a day of recovery. Yesterday morning, I was out with my ranch manager making sure, you know, I was stayed up to par on what I need done at the ranch while I'm gone, et cetera. And three of my calves were out on the bordering ranch. So we had to go pin calves, patch up the fence, get my crap together, put it back together, get to the airport to come talk to you guys.
And now you're on the road. Here we go.
Yeah.
What do you end up doing on vacation? What, like, did you go fishing? What'd you guys do? Just sit on the beach?
Mostly sit, yeah, just sit, just kind of chill.
Finally,
yeah, 100 miles an hour. I go all the time, and so I can finally just sit down and just chill. I cooked a lot. We had steaks. We actually ate zebra.
Really?
How was it? Gamey?
It was incredible. No, it was incredible.
Okay.
One of the best steaks I've ever had.
I've never had zebra before. Rob, I promise Rob, by the way, that I would not talk about horses because I do in every single interview, but I, but you already did this, Cody. You were so sweet to talk to me about horses from my podcast, which by the way, finally comes out August 1st. And so it's only been a year and a half, but I promise, but I was like, I won't talk about horses, but he literally has a song with Zac Brown that he's on now, Wild Palomino. That's a horse. Like, how?
so we have to, right? Yeah. So Zac came out with that album, The Comeback, and I noticed that it was mostly all him, and now he's adding some other artists, Blake Shelton and you as well. How did that happen?
The guy just asked, would you like to be on this song? And I said, send me the song. And so I listened to it, and it's a pretty unique message. You know, like I saw what he was going for. He wanted me to kind of do the cowboy thing in it, you know? And so originally it was all, you know, the lyrics were like an old Georgia pine. Well, I just changed it to like an East Texas pine and kind of made it, you know, my own a little bit. And my favorite lyric in the song is the whiskey's a Band-Aid. I was like, God, it's such a good lyric. Like,
yeah.
A broke heart keeps breaking, sitting at a bar. I'm like, man, it was really good lyrically. I do feel like it sounds like a love song that like me and Zac are kind of singing to each other, which was a little awkward. He's kind of a big feller.
Yeah. I didn't notice that when I first listened to it, but yeah, I could see where you, but there's a lot, I feel like there's a lot of that going on right now. There's a lot of, all male, you know, duets or duos, if you will. You had, it's like the year of the collab.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's kind of like what I was, whenever I got to pitch the idea, I was like, well, I may as well. I mean, shoot, like, why would you not record a song with Zac Brown then?
Right.
Right. Can I tell you one of my favorite lyrics of Human? And I wrote it down because I screw up lyrics all the time and I don't want to embarrass myself in this moment. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Forgive me. I'm trying to be human. That resonates to me so much because I always say I'm a work in progress because Rob knows I'm a disaster. So is that your favorite line of that song, or what is your favorite of that? And we want to hear the whole story behind it. Like, where were you? What were you thinking? What were you drinking when you wrote that one?
So I didn't write this song.
Really?
This was Tony Lane and Travis Meadows.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Now they did write it with me in mind. So I think to an extent, like I had influence on the song, but I didn't personally write it, but they wrote it so well. I think that they were like, let's try to describe Cody. And my favorite, I love that, you know, forgive me, I really don't know what I'm doing. That kind of correlates back to the lyric of where it's, for me, I'm singing to my wife, you know, and you can take your interpretation as you want. Mm-hmm. But for me, when it says, bless your heart for never trying to fix me or quit me, or slow me down. And my wife has told me before, she's like, you know, I knew when I met you, like you had to be you. You had to go and do you. You had to figure out who you are. She's like, I already knew, but you had to figure it out before you would slow down. And I thought, you know, what kind of a grand scheme love is that? You know, like I think she loves me more than me.
That's great. Do you have plans to slow down eventually one day and retire, or it's not even on your radar? I mean, it's so early in the game.
Look at his eyes.
You can't think about that now.
Like zero. Like you literally had like.
Well, like sometimes you think of like what am I going to be like when I'm 85? Am I going to be in the rocking chair with the grandkids? I don't know.
I think I've learned how to balance both lives.
Yeah.
You know, last year we played 135 shows. This year we're playing 76 shows. Next year I plan on playing 60 shows. The year after that I plan on playing 50 shows. And I think that as my career progresses, the strategy of the shows that we play will get better, and play to more people, more strategically, put out more to radio. Because obviously after the success that we've seen, I'm like, okay, well, here's the opportunity. Start putting out music that I really believe in and start pushing it to radio now that I'm really starting to get some recognition, and make sure that I don't lose sight of my family, because that's what I'm building. Like I'm building that ranch at home. That's not for me. That's so that my girls have something tangible to hold on to. Because let's face it, be honest with you, like Johnny Cash sold more albums the day after he died than he ever did in his life. And so music is immortal. It's going to live on. And someday when I'm dead and gone, it'll make the news and everybody's going to click something and my kids are going to benefit from that. I understand that. But I want to leave them something they have to work for and to keep going that ranch that they have to go out and actually put in time and know that dad's blood, sweat, and tears is in this place. So I think it's a balance, you know. I'd love to not work, but wouldn't we all? But I kind of have to do what I have to do because I'm kind of addicted to it.
Yeah.
One of the things I appreciate you when we first talked is that you were so honest and forthcoming about all of your feelings, which included how you felt about radio. Because I think in the beginning, you weren't getting played on radio. And I think it was really frustrating for you. Correct me if I'm wrong. How do you feel now that you have been embraced by country music radio? Do you feel a little bit different about radio? Do you like us now? Is it better?
I think that I never expected On My Way to You, my first single, to go platinum. I mean, it went to the top 30 and stayed there forever. And I was like, wow, like, this is seriously, like, it was so much further than my expectation because it was my first single. You know, nobody had a clue who I was. And but then I went through experiences like with Warner, which, I mean, I'm not throwing them under the bus at all, but I got started telling about data and research. Data and research say that this song should be next. And that song, y'all never even heard it because it never even got to you because it didn't do good because their data and research was wrong. So I said, I'm going to put out stuff that I believe in. And it was, then we struggled with, well, that's too rodeo. That's too cowboy. Nobody's going to understand it, even though we have a full length documentary around it, you know. And there were people in like certain demographics, like, I'll just say it, like in California, they were like, well, we are PETA supporters and the word rodeo reminds us of animal cruelty and we're not playing deer rodeo. And then I got exposed to the politics of it, which I hate because music should just be music.
Yeah.
And so after that, I was like, you know what? Screw it. Radio or not, TV or not, recognition or not, I'm just going to go. My data and research is me, how I feel about the song and how my fans react when I play it.
Look,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you look at any, I mean, I feel like that there's that story with any major artist of all time where like some of these huge, the biggest songs ever, someone at some point said, this is not going to work. And then they're like,
usually
no,
they have a suit on or something.
It is going to work because it's right here. And that's what you got to do. You got it.
Well, it's like the first time I played Till You Can't. As soon as I played it, I went, wow, this. So Till You Can't is the song that everybody screams the words. They scream the words back to me. Human, I can play it right there back to back with it. And Human's the song where the entire crowd goes deaf, just goes completely quiet.
Yeah.
Because they're really getting it. And then, you know, the old school, like whenever the artist would say the hook and then the crowd gets real loud real quick and then they shut up right before he starts singing again. That's Human. And I was like, those two songs are something really special right there. Like, and that's, and I just kind of said, look, this is what we're going to do. And they went, okay. And then Till You Can't went number one. And I went, yes, now I can say what I want. And
like, yeah, now we got data and research that says I'm number one.
Plus, I think the Cowboys are in now because of Yellowstone. I feel like there's been like, not to say that Cowboys are trending, but data and research are in that they are. I know your song was featured in Yellowstone, but have they asked you to do some acting? Or do you have any interest in that at all?
So I know Taylor Sheridan. He asked me about being on there, but I had, and I'll just be honest, he gave me very little notice. And
like how little?
Let's just say like a couple of months.
Oh, that seems like lots of time.
I'm booked through halfway through next year already.
Very good.
And for what I would have had to have canceled, I would have lost a pretty significant amount of money. And I just said, nah, I can't do that.
Yeah, do you think the opportunity will come back around? You think he'll be
it will.
Okay.
Well, we've talked about it too, because like I've got a new project that I'm working on. And after that comes out, I've got a cowboy project that I'm putting out. And so Taylor was like, man, I'd like to be involved. I want some of that music, you know, to use. And I was like, dude, if you just give me a year, like, let me know a year ahead, I could carve it out and I'd love to act. I won best actor in high school.
Really?
Were you in drama class? Acting class?
Yeah. I was in drama class. All the hot girls were in drama class, man.
What?
I did. We had that too. We did that for, I think I did that for a couple of years. I used to love it because we just kind of did like all the SNL skit type of stuff, goofing off.
Yeah.
Were you in like a play, a musical? Well, obviously you could do musicals. Would you ever do a musical? Like you could be the dude in Chicago.
I never thought about that. That's Elvis-ish.
Yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus did the lawyer dude in Chicago. I saw it on Broadway. It was great. You could do that. That like you got to sing and dance and stuff. It's fun and it's manly. It's a manly thing. Like it's.
I would like to act just because, like, you know, like I don't know. I feel like that. Like I've always looked up to people like Robert Duvall. You know, I'd really think that I could get into a role and really take it on, but I would want to do it right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to know who makes you laugh the most when it comes to stand-up comedians.
Oh man. Kevin Hart's pretty hard to beat.
Okay.
What's his name? The Machine. What's that guy's name?
Oh,
Bert Kreischer.
Yes. He's got a podcast, the Two Big Bear podcast or whatever it's called. Oh, he's so funny.
That man just stands there shirtless chugging beer. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Where
he
goes to Russia, Rob. Yeah. He talks about his Russia. Yeah. He joins the Russian mafia.
Have you ever heard the one about the Anne Frank house?
No.
Look it up.
Human the Double album is epic. We're loving it. We don't need any research to tell us that we love it.
And you are honestly the nicest, sweetest person. Every time we talk to you, you're always so honest and forthcoming. And it's just a joy. Thank you for the music and for good conversation all the time.
You bet, man. Thank y'all for being there and helping push this thing from the start. Like, this is the beginning.
Yeah.
This is the beginning. And I'm going to keep putting out real country music. So hopefully people still dig it.
Heck yeah, man.
Ooh, and congratulations on being the third artist to sell out Houston Rodeo. I know it was a while ago, but we never got to tell.
That was
amazing. Like, I was like, yes, I was so happy for you. So I had to feel good.
That was my cocky streak, by the way, because they were like, you can pick any day you want. And I was like, well, I want to close it. And they were like, well, not that day because that's George Strait. And I was like, well, let's open it. And they were like, no, you don't want that day because nobody ever sells it out. It's horrible. Historically, it's the worst ticket sales, worst beer sales, worst everything. And I was like, well, has anybody ever sold it out? They were like, yeah, well, George Strait and Garth Brooks have sold it out. And I said, I want that one.
The bar is set very high with everything you do. That's for sure.
So good. I was so excited for you. I was hoping, and I'm like, yes, that's so cool. So thank you for all the music and all the fun.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Holly Show podcast. Follow us at Rob and Holly Show and listen weeknights on Odyssey Country and the free Odyssey app. AUDACY.